Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 2 and reading verses 14 to 18. Ephesians 2 verses 14 to 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, the passage before us continues this general topic of divisions between Jewish believers and Jewish Gentile Christians, as well as, of course, prior to that, the Jews and Gentiles. And we learned that Christ, through the gospel, brings Gentiles into full membership and privileges of the Commonwealth of Israel and the covenants a promise. The Gentile believers were not to be viewed as second-class citizens in any shape or form. But now Paul goes further by teaching that not only are Gentile believers brought near, but they and the Jewish believers are to form one new man, thus in perfect peace and harmony with each other. And we have this pictured in the most remarkable way that would shatter the customs and thinking of the Jewish believers and indeed the Jews. The temple figures much in these verses as a way of illustrating the peace between Jewish and Gentile believers. These verses continue to be a real warning to the church, so that we never fall into the same error that the Jews fell into, who misunderstood the Old Testament and the temple, for they saw it as a permanent representation of God's dealings with humanity. Namely, the Jews would be the most intimate fellowship with God, and the Gentiles, proselytes, would only have a limited access, almost like children that could never come to maturity and adult relationships with God that, of course, the Jews enjoy. The church must never view believers and churches from other countries as naive or immature, such that the West must control and guide them as adult custodians. Never must any believer feel inadequate or beholden and dependent upon others. No, we all have access. We all have equal access by one Spirit to the Father. And furthermore, any notions of rebuilding the temple in the future is as foolish as going back to the ceremonies and sacrifices, as well as to the Holy of Holies with that heavy curtain blocking our access. It is out of date. It does not reflect the fullness of the gospel. We have no interest in going back. We have no interest in going, as it were, to the Holy Land as though there's something spiritual about those things. No, there's not. Absolutely not. To go back is to go back to limited access. You know, it would be like the African Americans wanting to go back to the 60s and say, oh, look, this is where we drank, and this is where the white people drank. This is the seats that we sat on. These are the seats that the white people sat on. We don't want to go back to that. Absolutely not. And that's what Paul is driving at in these verses, and also, of course, in chapter 3. He wants to drive this point home over and over and over again, because after all, he is the apostle to the Gentiles. And he doesn't want them to fall short. He doesn't want them to be deprived in any way with respect to the wonderful privilege that Christ has won for us, since we are all Gentiles, unless there are some Jews here. But nevertheless, we are all Gentiles. So, Christ is our peace. And how is he that? Well, he's that, first of all, between believers. Between believers. He breaks down this middle wall of separation. Christ did make peace between Gentiles and God, as indicated in verses 1 to 10. As indicated in the verses that we looked at last week. You that were aliens and strangers, you that were far away from God, that were strangers to the covenant, he has brought near. Not only has he brought near, I mean, that's a wonderful way of expressing, but perhaps we think, well, we're not quite there, we're just near. No, that's not what he means. We have been brought right into that relationship. We have every covenant that God has made, every promise that God has made is ours. We are to be called the people of God just as much as everybody else. We are the circumcision. We are the children of Abraham. We are the true Israel. That's what Paul means. Why? Because God has brought us to himself. And what a wonderful blessing that is. But Paul here now is saying more than that. That he has not only brought us to God, into fellowship with God, but also to bring us fellowship with fellow believers. So this wall of separation that he's talking about isn't a wall that is between them and God. That's already been taken care of. Christ has already brought us through that. Through his body, we have been brought into fellowship with God the Father. No. What he's talking about here is the wall of separation that there was between Gentiles and Jews. And we can see that in a visible way in the temple, because there was this literal wall. There was a literal wall in the temple that separated what they call the court of the Gentiles. The Gentiles could only go thus far, even if they were proselytized. That means even if they came to believe in the Old Testament, even if they came to believe the Jewish faith, they were still not allowed to go into the temple. They could only go in the court of the Gentiles. And by the way, on that wall there was written, inscribed for everyone to see, if you go past this wall and you are a Gentile, then you will forfeit your life. You will be killed if you go past this wall. And that's why you remember when we were going through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 21, that when Paul went back to Jerusalem and he had taken a vow and then he went into the temple to fulfill the things that he had to do, it says then, now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. And so they were going to kill him because they said he's brought Greeks into the temple, which he had not. But that's how strongly they felt about it. And so this wall was there separating Gentile believers in terms of the Jewish faith and the Jews. And Paul is saying to them, this wall of separation, God has taken down. What a shock. In the light of the gospel, this wall, this strong and physical wall, was way out of place. It was out of date. It didn't belong. It shouldn't have been there. But they continued. They continued. Putting them outside, giving them limited access. They couldn't even worship. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He had to cleanse that area. Because the Jews inside were worshiping, but where were they doing all the money exchanges and all the animals selling? It was in the court of the Gentiles. Who cares about the Gentiles, whether they have peace and quiet to worship God? No, no, no. We're going to do all of these things here. And the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, overturned the tables and drove them out. And he says, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. You've made it into a den of thieves. So even though these proselytes were received, they were treated in such an undignified way. The Lord Jesus, we are told, has broken it down. Absolutely destroyed it. It is never to be constructed again. It has no place in God's plan. We might ask, well, why was it there in the Old Testament? I mean, why did God put it up in the first place? Why establish it? Well, as we mentioned earlier in Ephesians, the Gentiles were aliens and strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers to the covenants. So this wall represented for them the barrier, their spiritual need, that they couldn't come to God unless they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They needed to come to believe in God of Israel and to abandon their gods. But as I said, the Jews, however, viewed the wall as a permanent structure, such that as Gentiles were converted to Judaism, they still had to stay in the court of the Gentiles, which, as I said, wasn't very conducive to worship. The wall that the Gentiles were used was broken down once and for all. What an image. What an image of welcome God gives to us as he destroys that wall so that we might be brought in to him. But it also said he abolished. How did he do that? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. How could the wall of separation be justifiably broken down? We're told that it was because Christ had abolished in his flesh the enmity. But what was the enmity? It was the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. In short, the Lord Jesus Christ put an end to the whole ceremonial system that was conducted in the temple grounds. The whole sacrificial system, which took up so much of the work of the temple, was abolished. It was this service that was given to the Jews, but now it was not necessary. And thus the Gentiles were not to be excluded. Of course, we understand that Christ was not diminishing the ceremonial system, but rather fulfilling it in every detail. Christ did not ignore the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, but rather brought it to its glorious end in the ministry and in his death on the cross. The book of Hebrews speaks eloquently of this amazing transformation from the Old Testament forms and shadows to the reality of the heavenly sanctuary and its earthly manifestation, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ cleansed and purified Gentile believers by his blood such that they were ceremonially and actually clean before God. Thus, no one should call them or treat them as unclean. The Gentile believers could now be called Israel. They could be called the children of Abraham, God's people, circumcision, and every other name that distinguishes God's people. In short, the ministry of Christ towards believers of all nations are that we are to be one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has made peace between all believers because the gospel brings the same blessings and privileges to all. That's why the scripture says there is to be no distinction between male and female, no distinction between Jew and Gentile, no distinction between bond or free, or any other divisions that we want to bring. No differences with respect to the gospel, I might add. With respect to the gospel. There are differences, of course. God gives us different offices. God has order in marriage, has order in society. There are rulers. So there are distinctions. But not when it comes to access to God. Not when it comes to salvation. There is absolutely no distinction. Men are not holier than women. And adults are not holier than children. We are all filthy sinners, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be careful then to honor and to obey the Lord in this regard. Every new believer must be fully and lovingly embraced as a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing that makes you stand out over new believers. We are all dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But how does he bring the two together? In what manner does he bring the two together? Well, he brings them through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer the temple. Reconciling Jews and Gentiles. These two sets of people, Jews and Jewish believers and Gentiles, are reconciled to God in the same manner, which is through the cross in his flesh. The Jews were adamant that they did not need to be saved. After all, they were the children of Abraham, they said. They didn't need reconciling. Instruction, yes, but not saving. And that's why Nicodemus was so shocked. You have to be born again. Born again? I'm a Jew. Why would you say I need to be born again? You are a teacher of Israel and you don't even understand these things? You don't even understand what I'm talking about when I say you have to be born again? Who do you think you are? You need to be cleansed. You need to be saved by the working of God's Holy Spirit. And Paul was one that could testify to this because he was brought to faith and to see his need. And now he says, I'm the chief of sinners. Before he said he was perfect. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to see what he was. The Old Testament shadows were all pointing to the Messiah through whom true peace and forgiveness of sins would come. The Gentiles also needed to be reconciled to God through the same means, through sacrifices of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. All that the Old Testament pointed to was fulfilled in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me, he says. There was no reason for the Jews to boast over the Gentiles, or the Gentiles, for that matter, to boast over the Jews. We have that in Romans 11. The Gentiles were pictured as a branch that's brought and grafted into the vine. And other branches were taken off and cut off. And the Gentiles were put in. So the Gentiles were tempted to say, oh, we must be really important. I mean, God cut off those branches, those bad branches, and put us in. So we must be better than them. And Paul said, hey, don't boast. What are you boasting about? You were nobodies, and God brought you and put you in the vine. And now you're boasting? Look at the ones that were cut off. They were in the vine too. You have no reason to boast. Jewish believers ought not to boast, and neither should Gentile believers boast. No, all the glory must be given to God himself. But he produces this one new man. Christ's work had the purpose of bringing unity among all people, whether Jews or Gentiles. And we have that purpose wonderfully manifested in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is here that we have true unity. The world is always going to struggle. Whatever theories they come up with, whatever institutions they put in place, they will never, absolutely never bring unity into this world. They will always be divided. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ where we truly see united nations, where we truly see a community that is colorblind, a community that doesn't look at the bank account of people. It doesn't look at the education of people. It doesn't look at the color of people. It doesn't look how strong they are. They see each other as equal brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're going to get that. Why? Because it hasn't been brought about by our genius. It hasn't been brought about by some compromise that we've come up with. No, no, no. It's been brought about by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the manifestation to the world of true unity, the way that God intended for us to live, the way that he wanted humanity to live, to love him and to love one another through the church. In the church, there is no place or reason to boast, for we are all organically connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, the head. The temple has to give way, as do the sacrifices, to the reality of which they were shadows. Not only has Jesus taken down this wall of separation from the Gentiles and the Jews, he's also taken down the separation between the people and the priests. Because there was a separation there. The Jews could only go so further. They couldn't go anymore. Actually, the women could go to a certain area, and then they had to stop. Then the men could go further, but then they had to stop. And then the priests, and then they had to stop with the Holy of Holies. There were all of these barriers, and rightly so, because God wanted to point out the bankruptcy of man in and of himself. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a completely different and glorious relationship. One church. The temple was one building. The church is made up of many churches, as is evident from Revelation 2. But notice that Jesus walks among the candlesticks, among the churches. There's no one church that is better than another church, as long as they're both true churches, you understand. No, all churches, whether we're small or whether we're large, it doesn't matter. We have the same privileges that God has given to us. We are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why our churches do not have a hierarchy of churches, as the Roman Catholics do, or the Anglicans, or the Eastern Orthodox. We do not believe that one church is higher than another, or one minister higher than another minister. We don't believe a minister is higher and better because they have thousands of members. No, absolutely not. No church is to lord it over another church. No minister to lord it over another minister. All true churches of Christ have direct authority and access to God. As churches, we view one another, and we ought not to even speak in those terms. We're never a mother church, because that implies that we gave rise to a daughter church, that somehow we brought that into being. No, we are sister churches. We are churches that God has planted, that God has established. And when we meet as classes, as we will do in a couple of weeks, or synod, all churches send representatives because it's the authority that God has given to them. There is no headquarters. And finally, how has he brought this about? By the gospel. The Jews and Gentiles were both brought in the same way. It makes no difference. He said, it was preached to those that are near, and it was preached to those that are far off. Sometimes we think if we're near, it's almost as good as though we're inside. But no, Jesus said about the Pharisees, you stand outside of the kingdom of God and you don't enter and you stop other people from entering. In fact, the prostitutes are going in before you. Near doesn't cut it when it comes to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may even be in the church physically, but that's just like being near. You hear about these things, you're raised with these things, you hear the gospel, but you don't embrace it, you don't believe it with all of your heart. That's just being near. But you're not in. No, no, it's only when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we love him with all of our heart, when we see him as the one that breaks down every barrier between us and God and brings us into that wonderful fellowship with him. People of God, then we are in and united to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all have equal access. We've all been given access to the Father. And in terms of that temple the Jews, here's what I want you to see. Christ has destroyed the temple. He's destroyed that barrier for the Gentiles. He destroyed that barrier between men and women. He's destroyed that barrier between men and the priests. He's destroyed that barrier between the Holy of Holies. We have equal access to the Father. He's brought us into the very place that the Jews never dreamed of coming into. He brought us into the place where most of the priests never got to go in. He has given us access to the Father. That's what you and I have. That's what all of us have. Individually, when we pray to God, and collectively as we come and worship, we are in the Holy of Holies, people of God. We are in the Holy of Holies. And that's why the temple could not stay. It was way out of date. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they were most offended. But it couldn't continue. It was not giving the full representation of the glory of the gospel. So in AD 70, God did destroy the temple. There is no temple now. And it would be most inappropriate and insulting for the temple to be reconstructed. Because having gone into the Holy of Holies through the Lord Jesus Christ, we never want to go back to walls of separation. People of God, we have this access. And you have that access. Rejoice in it. And make sure you don't deny somebody else. No, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has equal access as you or myself. Or anyone, let us go to him day by day. And let us make sure we understand that when we worship, we go into the Holy of Holies and adore and worship God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have not only brought us into your house, you have brought us into your private room. To communicate to us your love. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might rejoice in the access that the Holy Spirit grants to every believer, that there would never be any obstacle that we put in the way, nothing that we teach that would deny and deprive those that you have brought near by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to your loving embrace. And our Father, then we pray that we as a church may never erect barriers of whatever kind, but rather that we might encourage people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ so that they with us may gaze and gaze upon you. Amen.